Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as a 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, pour a nice one, everybody, because we have our second interview. We have a wonderful guest on today. We have Tamara Jannar from way far up north at one of those schools.
Hello, Dana.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Wonderful.
So let me ask you, do you have a morning ritual when it comes to coffee or drinks?
I am actually not a coffee drinker. I'm okay. More of a tea drinker and I've graduated to water. I'm trying to take better care of myself. So trying to get my 76 ounces of water a day.
Okay.
That's where I start in the morning.
All right. I hear you on that. I'm trying to do the same. And luckily, one of our student employees gave me for Christmas one of these water bottles that's literally marked off like, you know, morning,
by the hour,
afternoon.
Dennis. Oh,
yes, yes.
I have that water bottle right here with me. I am all about goals, and this water bottle is perfect for me because I can see small goals that are attainable every hour.
Exactly. I mean, literally, it's like a schedule. It's like a clock for you.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious. So what type of, because I love tea as well. Do you have any favorites?
I actually do. I love the organic Numi tea, and it's typically a hot tea, but you pour it over ice and it's delicious, but by far my favorite, the Earl Grey.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It is delicious.
I had a tea phase in my life because there was this girl I was kind of going with, and we would go to the Glendale Galleria, you know, everything's at the mall, and they had a Teavana. And so I learned quite a bit about tea. During that time, I think I bought a teapot. I bought tea. And then after I ran out of tea, well, you know, I think that teapot ended up at Goodwill.
And then Teavana closed down. So I bought one too from Teavana, and then they closed down. But tea is very sophisticated, you know.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. I mean, when you saw their display, it was a little intimidating, you know.
It's fancy and fancy.
30 different tins of tea and... Mm-hmm. What does the oolong go with? And, you know, and white tea and the green tea and the black tea. And
yes,
I'm just looking for something good. But, you know, that didn't matter. I really had to figure this out.
You know, I think I actually, man. So I really loved their powdered green tea. And but it's funny because you go in that store and I buy this little can of green tea for like $40, $50. You have the one little bag.
Yes.
And all you have to show for your $50 is the one little bag coming out of the store.
Exactly.
Yeah, there seems to be no end to the price structure on teas.
Right. No.
You know, I've got a couple friends, both are Chinese, and they'll talk about some of the super, super expensive stuff that they'll get from family members back in China or such. And it's just crazy. It really is.
It's intense. And, you know, I've been to a couple of tea houses out here on our, you know, in our side of the world. So there's some really nice ones up in Pasadena. Maybe Dennis or Tamara, you've heard of them, like Chato. That's a really popular one. Mm-hmm. So I like tea as well. It's good for you.
Exactly.
It is. We're really lucky here in Chico. We have a little place called the Tea Bar. And interestingly enough, they turn your tea into almost like a milkshake.
Wow.
A dessert tea that is super delicious, and they fill it with like fresh mango and all kinds of deliciousness. So yeah, tea can get pretty sophisticated, and it's interesting to try it in many different ways.
Yes. No doubt. Even the ritual of preparing it too, like Yeah.
So oh, yeah. You can go deep. You can definitely go deep on how you prepare your tea and heat, cold, all that stuff. Yeah. It's how long you leave it in the strainer, all that good stuff. That much I kind of remember. But, you know, this is just our start of the show. We don't talk tea and coffee all morning, even though it's about what's brewing CISA. So, Dana, let's get to know Tamara, because Tamara has been one of these key people on our executive board for CISFA. She, you know, started as a young child back in the day. What was your first position on the CISFA executive, on the exec board?
I came in mid-term as a region rep for Region 1.
Okay.
So our region rep, I had just started at Butte College probably 3 months. And one of our region rep had some medical issues that she couldn't participate on the board any longer. And so the chancellor's office had reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in sitting on the executive board as a regional rep, which was really awesome as a new person coming into the system to be able to connect and network with such a wealth of knowledge that the CISFA board has.
Yeah, that's a real, you know, I mean, I don't know how it works with some of our other associations, but our regional reps really are part of the board, and they are so instrumental to kind of guiding what we're doing, because you're up in Region 1, so you cover what looks like landmass-wise a huge amount of state, but it's a smaller number of schools because you guys are kind of spread out there, you know, versus, you know, you get down to Region 7, which is L.A., there's, you know, 17 schools or whatever. Most of them in the LA district, like where me and Dana work. But the regional reps really do help drive things, because you guys are like the, you know, the foot soldiers of the organization. You're right there on the ground. You really have a tie-in with your neighboring schools and what the needs are. And they definitely differ from north to south, middle of the state and such.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah, the closest college to me in my region is an hour and 45 minutes away.
Wow.
So that's how spread out we are. And there's five colleges that are in this region. So,
okay. Yeah,
we're out here and, you know, sometimes we feel like we're on an island all by ourselves, but it's nice to be able to have a group of schools that are positioned similarly. We have some of the same similar school populations. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in rural Northern California. So it is definitely a bit different for us than it is for y'all down there.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely believe that. I know, you know, just in learning, you know, I mean, for regions 7 and 8, LA and OC, we tend to have our meetings together. And when I first started in California in 1999, my former boss, Pat Hurley, who went on to retire but never left the industry, really got me going to the meetings, and we'd almost do them every month. You know, we've cut back quite a bit, even pre-COVID, to doing them closer to when, you know, the executive board meets quarterly or so, and we would do our meetings thereafter. But, I mean, it was interesting to have so many LA and OC schools, and we'd meet nearly every month, and then just finding out what's going on and what's different, as far as operations, the different, takes on, legislation, and things like that. So I can only imagine, yeah, when you get up to the northern part of the state where you're talking about Shasta, Butte, College of, I'm going to say Redwoods is up there maybe. Yeah.
College of Redwoods, Siskiyou's, Lassen, Feather River.
Okay. Lassen's out there by the Tahoe-ish side of the state, right? It's on the east side of the state.
Yeah, Susanville area.
Susanville, that's it. I was going to say, I know we had a regional rep from there at one point or another. So, yeah, I mean, you guys cover a lot of ground out there.
Yes.
So you started a regional rep, and then you just worked your way on up, I guess. What was next?
Well, I was a region rep and, you know, got pretty involved quickly with the state stuff. I was really intrigued. I came from proprietary education, which is, you know, a bit different than the public California college system. So it was a huge learning curve for me. And if it wasn't for CISFA, I don't know if I would even be as knowledgeable as I am right now about what goes on in the community college system. So I was interested and picked it up really quickly and you know, the CISFA board is so welcoming. They just took me right in and, you know, kind of helped me spread my wings a little bit and then encouraged me to run for president-elect. And I thought, well, why not? I didn't know any better. You know, I think that's how true. They might do it sometimes. Let's get the new girl.
That's that. There's a little bit of that. You know, we can't call it hazing, but there is a boy, I bet that Tamara would make a great president because we have 3 year cycle here to fill.
Yeah. I was nominated to run for president-elect. I accepted the nomination and, you know, graciously won. And it was just went from there. And I thought, you know, my dean at the time, she had told me, you realize though, when you start this presidency role, your son is going to be, by the time you're done, your son's going to be 9 years old, almost 10 years old. Uh-huh. And he said, wow, like that was a real eye opener for me because he was such a little guy then. Yeah. That it really gave me a picture of the amount of commitment that goes into what you do on the CISFA board for that extended period of time. But it was definitely one of the highlights of my professional career and one that's taught me so much along the way.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, you know, you might be at this point in time, at least, you'll be known as the last president to actually have a conference in person. You know, right. I mean, it's just strange to think that it was literally over a year and a half ago. It was the last mm-hmm. conference, right? We were down there in San Diego at the Bahia in person, and that was your conference, and it went really well. I mean, all I remember was the turnout was so good, they just kept adding chairs and tables to that main room.
Yeah, we did not expect that turnout.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It was literally crazy. And I remember going to breakout sessions and you just saw a mass of people moving around looking for rooms. And I mean, that was just great. You know, I mean, that's why it was a little bit sad that, you know, when we our spring conference up there in Monterey, we had, you know, had to cancel this year like so many others. but, you know, we're on track to doing something in 2021. We're still working, you know, with the state chancellor's office and the foundation up there. We meet about once a month, you know, to talk over where we are. And, you know, as we slowly work through this, we're probably working our way towards some kind of online conference is my guess. You know,
I suspect this much, you know, but I know that CISFA has a lot of creative minds and that if anyone's going to pull off a killer virtual conference, it's going to be CISFA.
I think so. I think, you know, the good thing is we have our big brother, CASFA, going to make the first run at it here in October. And again, Anna Faye, you know, first interview with us, counterpart of ours and mine and Dana's out there in the district. In fact, Dana, you at one point had to work for poor Anna Faye, right?
I sure did. I actually was one of her student workers at Mission.
Yeah, and, so, you know.
Yeah, I loved it.
So, you know, Anna Faye's running a decent show over there, and we'll see.
Holding it down.
We'll definitely take some cues on what they're doing for their conference as we move forward with our conference. So I'm sure we'll figure out some way to have a fun time, a social hour or two, and all that good stuff there, you know, too. I'm sure we'll figure this all out in time. Well, you know, we're kind of at that 15-minute spot here. We're going to do a little musical interlude, and then we're going to show back up for our second cup, everyone.
And welcome to our second, welcome to our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time to pour another one, everyone. Refill your cups, everybody.
Yes.
We're in for the long haul. We've got our guest here, Tamara Shinar, Director of Financial Aid in every other department possible at our campus. You know, it's really great to have you on the show. First of all, because you've been a past president. So I guess if I had any questions, I could ask you as current president. But really, I've just been so enamored with your conference, when you've spoken at meetings, in that, you know, I think of some of the northern schools, you guys are kind of small, you're out there, you know, things are going as they are. But whenever I hear what you do for your students, I'm always just elated to hear of how connected you are with your students and the things that you're doing. I've watched videos from, who's the person that does the videos for your staff there?
Benny, he's my outreach guy. Much like you, he has a setup like you, and it's one of his niches. So one of the things that I really focused on when I came to Butte was tapping into the talents of my staff and what gets them excited about the work that they do. And we found that that was one of the things that he loved to do. And so we just kind of let him spread his wings, and he's turned out some really, really, really great stuff for us.
Oh, it gets amazing. And, you know, and when you talk about the other things you do to connect students to resources, get them involved, get their financial aid, scholarships, and all. I mean, it's just really, you know, it's enlightening to know that this can be done, everybody. You know, I mean, and again, you know, somewhere within a 60-hour work week or whatever, 80-hour work week sometimes, right?
Sometimes.
But yeah, it's good to hear. I think, you know, it goes beyond best practices. You know, best practices are best practices, but, you know, listening to you and some of our other executive board members, and this is, again, you know, the selling point to serving on the executive board sometimes is so that you connect with others in your field and you really get a good sense of, oh, these things are all possible, or, right, you know, I haven't thought of it that way. You know, I know sometimes we need a little bit of nudging. You know, what is a couple, was it your conference or the one before where Rhonda Moore, you know, and the state chancellor's office gave us a little, right? We had the little bit of nudging there to think outside the box and how can you lower the barriers for students. And some of our people, no doubt, needed that little bit of a nudge to think beyond the, oh no, these are the rules. These are what we must do. We have to follow through on this.
Yep, that's definitely a trail that I've been blazing for the last 3 years, is really trying to break down all the procedural barriers that we've, you know, inadvertently put in front of students, not knowing. It's not intentional. We're not setting out to make things difficult for students. But one thing that I recognized was that when I came into Butte, I came into an already established set of policies for students that sometimes had been, you know, policy layered on top of policy because of the changeover. And no one had really taken the time to strip it all down to ground level and rebuild it and really look at what we're doing and putting in front of students. And then being comfortable enough with regulations that to know that regulations already have flexibilities built into them. We just need to know what those flexibilities are so we can apply them appropriately for students. So that was a real big task that we took on when I came to Butte, and one that CSFA jumped on with the chancellor's office and the league, develop some statewide framework around reducing procedural barriers for students in financial aid. And I was very fortunate to be a part of that group that developed that framework and had a lot of conversations. And, you know, there was a lot of uncomfortable conversations, but we grow and we learn when we're uncomfortable. So sure. I'm always, you know, I'm always looking forward to those conversations that make me shift a little bit in my chair because I know I'm learning something.
Absolutely. I think, you know, regardless of those who had a little bit of resistance in them, even myself, you know, when I got here to L.A. Mission College in 2008, seems so recent, but it's so far ago. you know, first director job after working as an assistant director under a fantastic director. It was interesting how, you know, you could have that kind of influence, or you could, you know, just ask the assistant director or ask your staff, like ask Dana, what's a better way to do scholarships? Yep. Dana's our scholarship coordinator. Now she's our work study coordinator. What's a better way to collect papers? Do we need this form? Why have we done this? You know, that's probably the biggest question that comes out of a lot of these conversations. Why are we doing this again?
Absolutely. The biggest lesson that I learned when I got there is I would ask my staff questions and they would say, well, that's our policy.
Sure.
And so after about the fifth or sixth time that, you know, I kept getting that response, I said, okay, show me the policy. Mm-hmm. And then it was silence. Well, somebody told me that I needed to do this mm-hmm. way. Uh-huh. And so then we really had to talk about, okay, what is policy? What is procedure? And what is practice? So that we all had a clear understanding mm-hmm. about how we're communicating with students, what exactly students must do, things that we like them to do, and then things that we ask them to do that they really don't need to do.
Sure.
So it really set the stage, I think, for us to have a lot of great conversations about what it is that we are supposed to be doing as far as protecting the integrity of the federal student aid program, but also making our processes efficient enough that we don't get students hung up in them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe this COVID stuff has actually had us refocus on that, because I'm sure, just like at your school, you know, what were you doing that first week when students were told they can't come to campus? I mean, we're all trying to refigure, how do students mm-hmm. get a hold of us? How do they connect with us? How do they turn in a form?
Exactly. So here's the interesting part, which I'm really grateful for. The state was, they were gracious enough to give financial aid, some tech dollar funds ahead of time through the legislative mm-hmm. process, which happened a few years ago. And I got to give a shout out to Linda Williams, who is a past
yes, president. Yes, yes,
yes. who really led the charge. And again, a CSFA initiated board member working with the state, made some really great things happen for our division. And we were able to get some really important tech dollars that allowed us to bring in technologies that really had us prepared for that online shift. So mm-hmm. for us at Butte, we had already had, you know, some online technologies in place for students. We were able to accept documents electronically. We could build documents electronically with signatures. Our biggest thing was how are students going to reach out to us? How are mm-hmm. we going to have that same level of connectivity with students, even though we're working from home? So that was really what I was busy in the first week or so, making sure that we were still accessible to students and how students would know that. So yes. We dug right in and came up with some really creative solutions. And that's the one thing about this COVID you know, pandemic issue, is that you really have to take it as an opportunity to look at the silver lining. And there was a lot of things we were talking about doing as a department for students that we just couldn't find the time to do while we were on campus with so many things going on. And now that we're at home, we're able to lift some of those things up off the ground and get them implemented. And they've been, you know, just monumental for our students. And we probably wouldn't have them in place right now if we were, you know, reporting to campus every single day. So, you know, I take the good with the bad, and we've been able to do some really great things for our students during this time. And we continue to explore what our students need and pivot and make adjustments when we need to.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting time as far as how quickly we've gotten staff up and running on things like Zoom meetings, obviously, in the background. But we're using a product like Cranium Cafe, which is one of those virtual counter things. And counseling had been using it for a while on our campus because they were switching from an older product to this product. And then suddenly we're all using it. And so, Dana, you probably could tell me better, but or tell us. I mean, when you think of a product like Cranium Cafe, how do you see that working, you know, when it comes to connecting with our students?
So, you know, it's basically our virtual counter, and it's been working out very well for us. We also use that platform for some of our financial aid workshops as well. You know, we do get some pretty good feedback. And even when I do my federal work study workshops, you know, I'll ask students, you know, because I'll let them know, you know, if you are hired, most likely you'll be assisting students mm-hmm. utilizing Cranium. And, you know, like I said, the feedback is good. They'll tell me, yeah, you know, Dana, it's good when I use it. I'm able to get assistance. So it's really working out for us.
Yeah, and I know that even talking to, again, I think Anna Faye in our interview either last week or just some other time when I talked to her during hours during the week of meetings, she's like, oh, it's, you know, even when this ends, you know, we're going to have to keep this kind of virtual counter world. And I'm sure it's going to be the same for you, Tamara, and other schools mm-hmm. that we've seen the light on some other options for students to get a hold of us. Mm-hmm. And I assume you've got some remote students that are remote from your school that this might be the way that we connect with them. And again, it may make for some efficiencies down the line.
Well, and you know what we found, because we don't use Cranium Cafe for financial aid, but we do use Zoom room meetings. So we have a drop-in okay. virtual mm-hmm. lab that our students can drop in, and yes. we have a waiting room, and we move them through the waiting room so that they still have the confidential time with a specialist on campus. But mm-hmm. The feedback that we've heard from students is really like, it's so great to see somebody mm-hmm. from Butte College, you know, and it's more about the connectivity. Yes, they get that instant service from us, but they're really looking for a connection too. We were lucky enough at Butte that as soon as we had to shift online, they bought they did a cell phone contract for all student services. So okay. we all got cell phones to be able to stay in contact with students. And we recognized right away when we were reaching out, calling students, they were just so elated that somebody was calling them from the college and that they sure. could make a connection with somebody. So yeah, we've all been working really hard to come up with great solutions. And I think some of these things, like you said, Dennis, are going to be instituted going forward beyond COVID, just because we've had such great feedback from students.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're seeing a change of tides in a sense, how we address student services and such. Well, we're coming up here on our next break here. We're going to take another quick little musical interlude before we move ourselves into our last segment of the day. And amazingly, we are on to our last segment of the day, which means we are coming up on our last sip, everybody. Get that last sip in there of your hot or cold beverage, whatever you're drinking this morning. So, Tamara, you've been prepped on this. Our last segment, for those who are our regular listeners, 99% of them in the United States, 1% in Ecuador, amazingly, if you look at our stats. It's just kind of crazy.
At one point, we had the one in Ireland, too.
And we had one in Ireland early on. Yes. I don't know what CISFA stands for in Ireland, but somebody found us. This is our I Dare You To segment, where we dare people to read or listen or binge watch or something like that. Tamara, do you have something to share with us in the audience?
Musical choice
or something, or TV show.
Musical choice?
Sure.
Okay. Right now, one of the hot tracks on my playlist. Dana, let's see if you know. I bet you know this one.
Okay.
It's called Love and Hate. Are you familiar yet?
Love and Hate. Love yeah. and Hate. Mm. Give me the artist.
Michael Kiwanuka.
You know what? Let me look this up. And it's called Love and Hate.
Yep.
How does Dana not know this? Only because if you saw Dana's cubicle, it looks a little like a shrine to Beyonce and Bruno Mars and a variety of other artists. That's why I'm like, how does Dana not know this? But this is something new on your, some new tracks that you're listening to?
It's fairly new, yes. Yeah. So I'm actually, you know, my husband was the one that kind of turned me on to the song. And since then, that's kind of what I listened to on Pandora. And but I know, Dana, that probably when you hear this song, you're going to be like, yeah, I know that song.
I'm going to listen to it after the show. I'm going to check it out. Should I listen to the live session or just the single track?
I think you'd be happy with either, but at least listen to the single track first.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
we've got some I Dare You To Listen To from Tamara out there. And that will pretty much wrap up what we have for today's show. So I want to thank our guest, Tamara Shinar of Butte College, and our co-host, Dana, my far away staff member. We are socially distanced by 15 miles or more. All for joining us here on What's Brewing CISFA. And again, thank you to our audience for tuning in.
And hey, guys, remember to check out the CISFA website at cccsfaaa.org. That's cccsfaaa.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And, of course, you can always find our episodes, past and present, at wbccisfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. And that's the words pod and bean as one word.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 21, recorded the morning of Friday, September 18th, 2020.
Have a great day.
And have a great weekend.